I've been there. 23 minutes down in front of five. Twins and Rockies, they played a wild one last night. Twins had a 7-rip lead going to the eighth. They fell behind 8-7, win it 9-8 in 10 innings. It wasn't a work of art, but it was entertaining. Twins win. Same two teams tonight. Our lineup card begins at 5:30. Chris Hine joins us from the Star Tribune. Not a lot going on with the Timberwolves. We thought we'd say hello and see what's going on in Chris's world. I kid, of course. Chris, it has been an extremely busy week. Unbelievable to think that Naz Reid is now a Charlotte Hornet. I think a lot of casual fans in particular are having a hard time with that. People love this guy.
Yeah, it's going to be a tough one to take. It's one of those things that it's going to take a while to sink in, and then it's going to be like a grieving process almost. You know, there's going to be, you know, his first game back in Target Center, you know, watching him on TV, seeing him in a Charlotte Hornets uniform. All these things are yet to come, you know, kind of the same way when Carl Anthony Towns was traded. It'll be a huge, huge night at Target Center, I'm sure, when he comes back. But right now it's really is processing, like, why did they make this move? And, you know, everything that they do, they process through the lens of how is this going to optimize the window for Anthony Edwards. And they came out of the last two postseasons saying we lost in part because we did not have enough ball handling. We did not alleviate the pressure enough on Anthony Edwards offensively, and this was to go out and get LaMelo Ball was their solution. We will see if it works. It's a very polarizing move, obviously, and when you trade a fan favorite, there's a little pressure on you to really get it right.
Yeah, and Chris, a couple of things here. Number one, there's no way they could run it back. That what went on during the regular season, the fact that they were eliminated by San Antonio in round number two of the NBA playoffs, that they had to make moves. And when they sent Julius Randle on his way, I think hardcore fans, casual fans could understand that move. But then beyond that, what are the corresponding moves? You get the sense that this trade, Naz Reid, and getting back ultimately LaMelo Ball, is not the end of it for Tim Connelly.
Yeah, no, their roster is still incomplete, I would say. You know, right now they need to find, I think, who their starting power forward is going to be next season. But the thing is, they're a little painted into a corner, so to speak, in terms of the assets they have to go out and get another power forward, because they've given up all the first-round draft capital that they are eligible to give up. They have given up over the last couple of years here. So there's no more first-round picks to trade. So, you know, they received guard Josh Green in this LaMelo Ball deal. Do they try to flip him for a power forward? And if so, what's the kind of player that you can get there? So that's the number one question going forward the rest of the offseason here is, what do they do about the power forward position? We'll see what they come up with. They can round out the roster with the minimum guys as well, but they don't have a lot of room to maneuver in terms of, you know, ducking under the second apron of the luxury tax, and they don't have any first round pick assets to deal anymore.
Yeah, and do you think that this move is kind of a reaction to the big injury to Dante DiVincenzo that kind of forces, or do you still think, even if DiVincenzo didn't get hurt and was available, that they still make a move like this to get a player like LaMelo Ball? Because other names have been mentioned, you know, Ja Morant, et cetera.
Yeah, knowing what I know about how long the Wolves have wanted LaMelo Ball, I think they make this move regardless of DiVincenzo being healthy or not. You know, he was there for the Oklahoma City series. It didn't really make much of a difference in terms of the ball handling.
Sure.
Dante's a great player. He's going to be able to capitalize if he can get back from his injury later in the season. He's going to be a big weapon, I think, for this team. especially with LaMelo and Ant on the floor. But yeah, they were. LaMelo is somebody that this front office has been targeting and wanted for a long time. It was just a matter of, was he ever going to come available? Was Charlotte ever going to be willing to part with him? And the minute that they indicated they were, the Wolves were among the first on the phone to try to get him.
When you look at Anthony Edwards, and the thought is that he's likely been consulted. How much of a role do you get the sense that Anthony Edwards had in all of this, and how much do they communicate? And I know that varies player to player. I'm sure, you know, LeBron James in his day was consulted. I would assume with a superstar like Edwards, they keep him in the mix.
Yeah, Tim Connelly spoke about that after the first round of the draft before he made the move or before they finished the deal. And there's a heavy amount of conversation and communication that goes on between Tim Connelly, the front office, and Anthony Edwards, as there should be. You know, when you're trying to build this franchise around Anthony Edwards, you want his input on what he's comfortable with or who he might like to play with. You certainly want to gauge his opinion. You don't want to let him be the ultimate decision maker. Like, that has probably shown throughout NBA history to be not such a good move.
Sure.
If a player gets that kind of power. But you certainly want to take his input and, you know, what he thinks he needs, especially when it comes to these playoff series against Oklahoma City and San Antonio. And, you know, over the years, listen, Ant has done a good job of dealing with all the defensive attention that he has gotten throughout his career. But I think when he gets double teamed, it still might irk him a little bit. He does a good job of dealing with it, certainly a better job of dealing with it now than he did a few years ago. But you free up the floor for Anthony Edwards, and you know, I think he could really open up the offense. He could open up his production, and that's what LaMelo Ball is going to do. I hesitate to think that a team is going to be double-teaming Ant the moment he gets across half-court the way the Spurs were. If he gives one pass and it's LaMelo Ball going 4-on-3 against the rest of the defense, like, that to me is just going to force the hand of the defense to play them differently and play Anthony Edwards differently going forward.
Chris Hyatt joining us, covers the Timberwolves for the Star Tribune on the John Schuster Coldwell Banker Hotline. About LaMelo Ball, the shortcomings, number one, durability, and that's been well documented in the wake of this trade, talking about the fact he has been off injured. Now, this past season, a lot of improvement was available, but that certainly has to be a concern going into a deal like this. Availability is going to be very important.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, that is, to me, in my personal opinion of this trade, the number one concern is durability for LaMelo Ball. I think from an on-court perspective, I can easily see the basketball fit between him and Anthony Edwards and the rest of the team. I think it will work especially on the offensive end of the floor. But just how often is LaMelo Ball going to be available? Now, I do think that a decent number of the games that Ball has missed has been when Charlotte maybe hasn't exactly been trying to win some of those games. So you have to wonder if they were a competitive team in some of those years, trying for the playoffs, what have you. Maybe the games played number ticks up, right? Last year when they were a competitive team trying to make the playoffs, he played over 70 games. So that's a good sign and a good sign trending forward. It is definitely something that the Wolves weighed in making the deal, and it's one reason why, you know, bringing back Ayo Dosunmu was an important part of their offseason as well, to have that insurance, especially, you know, as you mentioned before, DiVincenzo is also out. So making sure Ayo Dosunmu is there and backing up, you know, Ant and LaMelo at the guard spot was an important part of this equation as well.
When you look at this group going forward, do you think the chemistry will change? Because a lot has been said. You talked about it when you joined us, that this was just a moody group. It just seemed to be an off year from that chemistry-wise. with Julius Randle in Brooklyn and LaMelo Ball coming in and things being changed up, is that a huge factor going into this season that maybe the mood around the team is different?
Yeah, no, 100%. It's, you know, we'll see how that affects things. It's definitely something that they talked about as a team coming off of the off season, you know, and it's something that, you know, everybody on the team was moody last year. It wasn't just Julius Randle, Naz Reid. It wasn't just him. It was everybody at times contributed to that. And, you know, it's just something about growing up and maturing. And, you know, I think last year, stuff isn't just going to get handed to you in a regular season. You got to go out and earn it. Even though they had been in the Western Conference Finals the previous 2 years, there was a sense that they could just cruise through the regular season. Guys could get their shots, not get their shots. And if they were not getting their shots, that was a problem for some guys sometimes. So it was kind of a constant toggle, you know, between winning and making sure guys are getting theirs. And that's a lot of NBA teams, quite frankly. You know, it's the battle that you have in the NBA when guys are playing for money, playing for contracts. And so I think at some point it's got to click in that you've got to sacrifice a little bit for the betterment of the team, and ultimately that also gets you paid in the NBA.
Chris Hyatt joining us. One more for you, and this is kind of a quickie. Any chance Rudy Gobert is moving on, or will Rudy Gobert be in a Timberwolves uniform this upcoming season?
I tend to think he's going to be in a Timberwolves uniform, unless there's another trade out there that brings in some sort of multiple front court tandem that the Wolves can play. I think, you know, I would be a little more surprised than not if he was traded at this point, just because I think right now you can look at this roster, and while there is a hole at power forward, they could fill that. A, B, you know, LaMelo's defense, he doesn't have the best reputation on the defensive end of the floor, but if you have a defense that's being anchored by Jaden McDaniels and Rudy Gobert, your defensive numbers should still be pretty good. So it would have to take, I think at this point, a pretty significant Wolves favorable deal for them to consider moving off of him, just because I think right now, as this team is currently constructed, Rudy Gobert fits what they're trying to do. I think what we saw in the playoffs the last few years, it's very tough for them to play offense when Julius Randle and Rudy Gobert were on the floor together, because the floor spacing gets clogged. When you have four guys in a lineup that can shoot, and Rudy's the only non-shooter on the floor, that eases things on the offense. And so right now, that's the direction they're headed, and Rudy Gobert can fit into that.
Chris, always great. Thanks.
Appreciate it, Steve. Thank you.
There he is. Chris Hine covers the Timberwolves for the Star Tribune. Great stuff. 10 minutes now in front of 5 here at News Talk, 830 WCCO.